come to you and we come to you in prayer. It is so natural. We do it every time we come and worship. We've done it numerous times this morning. Most of us will pray most days. And even though in some ways we know about praying, most of us, our own, we want to stand with the disciples who also knew about praying. They've been taught from their youngest childhood. And we want to come to you and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray in ways that connect with you, deepen our relationship with you, but also empower us and position us to be in the middle of your world, doing your work in this community. And so, Father, I pray that amongst the many words I speak, the words of the Holy Spirit will be the loudest. And I pray that the soil of all our hearts will be rich and deep and fertile, so that any seed of truth you plant there today will actually take root and thrive and bring the harvest you want to do. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And then I just want to read to you a few just a few scattered verses. Because if I read every verse that was written about prayer in the Bible, we would be here for a very long time. When Jesus was on earth, he was teaching his disciples, and he said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, and he gave some instructions. Just the very fact that Jesus projected forward, and I guess the unspoken words around that, is the expectation that his followers would pray, would fast, and would give. We've probably got a little bit of improvement to do on the fasting side of things in this kind of culture. Prayer was assumed, and it's in almost every type of religion and culture, there is a prayer of some format. But Christian prayer is significantly different. It's not just manipulating the God. Is drawing into relationship and become a key part of the people of God right from the early days, right all through the Old Testament. And I'm reading to you just a couple of verses from the book of Acts, and it's the first, so they're meeting, Jesus has been taken away, and it says, then they returned to Jerusalem on the hill called the Mount of Olives, Saturday walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Most present, it tells you all the disciples, except the Jews. They all joined together constantly in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Joseph, and his brothers. So their first step, Jesus has just ascended into heaven. The most amazing thing, their first response is go and pray. They all joined together constantly in prayer. It was a hallmark of the early church. It wasn't like the beginning and the end bookmarks that we kind of, we start something and close something. In Acts, I'll read it just a few scattered verses, Acts chapter 4, they're choosing some disciples because they're choosing some deacons to help because the apostles were getting bogged down in the mundane kind of aspects of ministry. And it says, and brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. Listen, disciples, right? And we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Lord. In other words, it's not just it was present, it was seen as a highlight or a priority for the early church. It wasn't a polite thing to say before you have a meal. It wasn't, when I was growing up in communion, I could predict what the prayer would be, and depending on where the people were sitting, who would pray for what part of the community. Now, that's not wrong in any way, but it is meant to be part of it, to permeate everything we do as Christians. Philippians 4 and verse 4 to 7. So it says, easy to read, hard to do. Do not be anxious about anything. And then there's the answer. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now the reality is that even as Christians, with all the resources of heaven behind us, we get occasionally anxious about different things. They get us awake at night sometimes, or they lay upon us, we get all that anxiety feeling. And we're promised a peace from God that doesn't make sense. But the link point is prayer. Everything, big, small. That's one of the amazing things about Christian prayer. It doesn't have to be world-like, cosmic or world-changing. You can pray about the things that are worrying you. Will the car make it back home? I will be able to pay the next bill. That's an okay thing. Don't neglect the bigger issues by always praying for yourself. But there's that. So I'm just going to leave those as I said, I could spend all of the time just going through the thousands of references in prayer. Jesus expects his people to pray. Paul expected to be a constant aspect. And I have never met a church that thinks it's praying too much. In fact, when I talk across hundreds of churches, mostly Baptists, I say there are two what we call aspirational values. They're things that we believe in, but we don't do very much. Prayer is one. Anyone want to have a shot at what's the other thing we think we should do and we should do more of? Anyone? Evangelism. Sharing our faith. We believe in it, but we just, there's always an excuse not to do it. And prayer is one of those. Just, if you read this week's news letter, we mentioned that we are actually we're thinking about starting an online prayer meeting. Probably for an hour, we don't know what night, just so that people don't need to go out, because that's getting different, harder and harder for people. We're just trying to raise the prayer level in our churches one step. So we will train you how to use Zoom if you don't have that already. So, I've called this the toolbox of prayer. And prayer is an overarching term, and it can be broken down into some more detailed forms of prayer. And I've likened it to a tradesman's toolbox, and for those of you that don't know, I am a tradesman, a cabinet maker, but doing a lot of building work, and this is my toolbox. I'm really pleased with it. It goes with me whenever I've got to do a job, and there's obviously a hammer, there's pliers, there's a screwdriver, a couple of spanners, there's some files, there's a saw, there's some technology for you, an automatic measuring machine, there's a string line. Everyone needs a string line, don't they? Now, the image is that most toolbox hold multiple tools. Very rarely do I need every tool in that toolbox on any job at all. But wouldn't it be crazy if so I can go to that toolbox and depending on the need, I can grab the right tool. Wouldn't it be crazy if a tradesman only could use one tool? Just imagine if you had to have one tradesman to cut, another one to nail, another one to measure, and sometimes the building industry seems like that. When Frank was building, he used to do everything. Now there's a different carpenter that puts up the frame, a different carpenter who trues it up and puts in the eaves lining, and a different carpenter that comes in and hangs doors. It's like they break it all down. Well, just imagine if I had to find out, who among you is the screwdriver person? Okay, come down, turn that one. Oh, we better get someone that works the spanner because the nut on the back. No, that'd be nuts. And yet, in prayer, sometimes we do that. We've got a whole toolbox of tools in prayer, and we use one or two. This is a saying that I don't know whether you've ever seen, if the only tool in your toolbox is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. And I think it's right. I've seen some people that don't have a wide life experience, they believe one thing will fix everything. And no, life's just not that simple. We've got to be flexible, we've got to be adaptable. And I think the same thing happens in prayer. So I want to teach you just a few things and show you some different prayer. Some of you will have heard of this. This is an acrostic. Is that the right word? My people tell me, you read the books. It's an acrostic. The first letter stands for something. So the acrostic of ACTS stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. It's easy to remember, and it gives you at least four. There's more than four types of prayer, but there's four that break it down. Now, adoration is like worship. That's where you come into God's presence and you just acknowledge. Your prayer is about acknowledging who He is and His majesty and His greatness. We do that in song, don't we? And so often, songs are musical prayers. Particularly when we get past the thing that's just a sing-along that we like or don't like. We sing these things out of prayer to God. And adoration and worship is a legitimate form of prayer. Confession. And I've written this as repairing relationship. Now, it's not the confession that kind of goes, let me write down a list of every mistake I made in the last week and I feel rotten about and come to God because He wants me to feel rotten about that stuff. But sometimes we've got to come to God and we've just got to go, Lord, You prompted me to speak to that person. And I told myself I was too busy. I'm sorry that I didn't listen to you. I think it's about repairing the relationship with God. I once, when I was at a communion service, I asked someone to do the communion service. This is not a part of what we're doing today. And the person leading said, we're just going to take a time of where we examine ourselves and to see if there's something we need to confess. I was completely okay with that. The phrase that really worried me, he says, if we've done something that would cause God to turn His face away from us, but I'm kind of starting to shake about it. There is nothing that will cause God to turn His face away from us. Our relationship gets broken because we feel shame and guilt and we can't look into His face. But He's like, we told He's like that Father waiting and waiting and waiting. He's just longing for us. So sometimes we need, not because God is disgusted with us, but He just knows that we're embarrassed or we need to acknowledge. I could have done this, I didn't do that. I got angry, I didn't trust you. And just clearing the air is quite a good thing. The Bible says confess your sins to one another. Because anything that's out in the open, Satan finds very hard to use against you. So there's confession, thanksgiving, gratitude, awareness. I'll come back to thanksgiving in a little bit. But that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? You can, if you stop and engage in thanksgiving. That is a great way of praying. Because there's been times where we've been really worried about one of our kids and, kind of been off the rails a little bit. And we pray a lot. For me, maybe it's better. I forget about the three kids that do really well. And I focus on the problem rather than, yes, it's a problem, but look at this blessing. Look at, people that have married other Christians or who are in Bible college or something like that. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves, even in the darkest time, God is good. And verbalizing that is like spiritual warfare, and I encourage you to do it. Even in the darkest times, there are glimmers of things we can give thanks for. And then supplication. Supplication is a fancy word that we don't use often. It just says it's okay to ask God for things we need and we would like to do. It's probably not okay to demand that He do them in the way we expect them done, in the timing we expect. But the Bible actually invites you to raise up the things on your heart and bring them to God. And supplication is a legitimate form of prayer. So there's four. I want to give you a few more. actually listen to God. We believe in a God who has a role. So prayer is about a relationship. And I don't know if you've ever met someone or talked to someone, and they just do all the talking. It gets annoying for a start. And I just don't know that our relationship is built very much. We don't go deeper in relationship. And I think with God, we need to take time and listen to what he might say. But so often, prayer is a monologue that has words attached from start to finish. Where is the place of silence in prayer? I know some people and they've confessed that they hate those pregnant pauses, that time. Counselors are told, don't worry about that, just be quiet. They'll speak when they're ready to speak. Don't jump in, you don't have to save the situation, but sometimes we're uncomfortable with silence. And we jump in. Well, let's not be uncomfortable with silence even in God's presence. Prayerful listening, to understand God's will. Intercession is another kind of technical word, and that just means when you pray for other people. So supplication is like you've got a need or your family's got a need and you pray that and God says that's fine. Intercession is where you step in and you pray on behalf of other people. Jean and I have been doing that for some friends that have some very big challenges with one of their children at the moment. And so we've been taking some time to pray for them. And in those little times of prayer, that's pretty much all we do, we pray for other people. That's intercession. And that's a good thing. If you write a prayer request on the back of the card today, when the leaders take those and pray for them, that's intercession. That's them and us praying for someone else. And that's a legitimate form of prayer. You're probably not surprised at that. What about praying scripture? Laying hold to verses that the Bible says and praying those. Some of the Psalms, and other songs, like I said, songs are often sung prayers. They cry out to God with words that are just wonderful. And so, learn the prayers of Scripture. Learn how other people pray and how other people ask for prayer. Paul himself, he says, I want you to pray and this is what I pray. Or sometimes he says, this is what I'm praying for you. And now, I'd love to take that because and I'll pray that over people. I pray that God will make you aware of how wide and how deep and how large his love is. I pray that you'll be aware of the inheritance and the riches you have in Christ in the saints. And so taking scriptures and praying those. Declarations, that's a little bit differently. Declarations are standing on what the Bible says or what God has revealed despite current circumstances and declaring that into the heavenly. So when I talk about praying that into the heavenly, I'm talking about the spiritual realm, both good and evil. So I'm saying that there are times where we need to take a stand on God's word and say, now my situation looks like this, but the Bible says, or God has promised, and you declare it. You need to do it out loud. Okay? And you declare it into the heavenly realm. So this is not praying to God, asking him to do something. It is about standing on what he's done and declaring that over a situation. Taking authority is another time, and that is often confronting evil spirits, the evil spiritual realm on God's behalf. Remember we talked about that Jesus says that when you pray in my name, you'll do greater things than you did on earth. And he set people free from mental illness, he set people free from physical illness, he set them free from evil spirits. And the Bible actually says, these are the things that he gives us for quality to do. Not just one part of it. And so, but we need to step into that. You don't just kind of trip over it. You make a conscious decision that I'm going to take the authority that God has given me into this situation and I'm going to pray on his behalf, in his name. And we're not praying to God. We're declaring his power upon a situation. I remember someone that had, was quite stunned at it, had been in a meeting, and they said, the person, lots of people got healed in that meeting, and said, the person who was praying for those people never once asked God to heal them. He declared healing. He said, what's your problem? You've got, your cancer's your problem. I declare healing upon that cancer. And the comeback was, we don't see Jesus asking his Father to heal. He prayed once. He knew God's will so much that he could step in and declare God's will in a certain situation. So that's another form of prayer. Now there are more types of prayer than I have just mentioned. As a tradesman, I need to be reasonably okay with all the tools in my toolbox. Because if it's a nut that needs unfixed, like untightening or tightening up, I need a spanner or a chisel. But if I need to get rid of a bit of timber, I might need a saw or a chisel. And some of us have drifted into patterns of prayer that would be like me throwing half my tools out of my toolbox. They all work, and they're appropriate, but we drift into patterns of prayer that are not wholesome. So if I said to you, if you pray for an hour, now that might take you a month to pray for an hour, I don't know, or some of you would pray, it might do it in a simple sitting. But, and I ask you to break up that hour of prayer into how much adoration, how much worship, how much confession or thanksgiving, what would the answer be? Would you kind of have a slightly, well, done creativity, but is your prayer life somewhat unbalanced? And I would say that Christians, ironically Christians in Australia, in one of the most privileged countries in the world, spend a disproportionate amount of time asking God for their own needs. Now, it's not bad, as I said, it's not bad. But if it's unbalanced, it may display a selfishness or ignorance towards other people and other situations. So I wanted to give you that. I made this point before. Thanksgiving is one of the most powerful weapons of spiritual warfare. Okay? And it's not just a, please don't write this down to, I'm a half glass, half full type of person, or a glass half empty. It's not about being by nature an optimist or a pessimist. This is a discipline where we choose to look for the good things around us, and they will be amazing. We can do it. You know, we can pray, we can give thanks for healing, and we can give thanks Paul gets to spend an incredible time with his daughter in the next month. I can give thanks that we'll celebrate our 43rd? Fourth? Wedding anniversary in Texas. But you can. There's lots of stuff. I want to challenge you to ramp up your thankfulness. I want you to ramp up some of these things that maybe you don't spend much time in. I find it easy in adoration, because early morning coffee, I come down the Red Hill, and the sunsets are amazing. Sunrise, not early morning. Sun. And the amount of time I'm driving down the hill, and I, maybe it's a river, I go, well done, Lord. Well, that's a cracker. That's fantastic. I think that's pretty. It raises my appreciation, it raises my wonder and knowledge as well. I think we need to become somewhat multifaceted in the tools we have in our creative tools. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we want to experience the adventure of Christian prayer. And I know that Satan will oppose prayer like almost anything else on the planet. hates it because you love it. He'll try and corrupt it. He'll try and make it selfish or inappropriate or mundane. He would ask for your protection that he doesn't succeed in. I pray for myself and for all of you that you, would you expand our experience of prayer? Maybe we truly be like disciples and say, is he just pray? Maybe look at other people when they pray and go, is there something for us to learn? And so,